Good morning, it's Friday, March the 13th, and this is episode 31 from the Anything Goes podcast. It's your boy Streets. I'm sitting here and I've tried to record for the past 30 minutes, and my nerves were bad for some odd reason. I think it's because I missed recording last Thursday. So instead of me being a child about the situation and throwing a hissy fit, I poured a glass of wine and I'm about to take a sip because y'all gonna get this work today, goddammit, for real. I can't spark up because I don't smoke in the house. I smoke outside. So the best thing since sliced bread outside of marijuana and water is wine. So I have wine and I have chocolate for breakfast. And this is gonna get us through episode 31. That's bitter, but that's good. It's going to relax your boy. And that's what you should do. If you don't have to be to work till 9:30, don't listen to me. I'm about to give you some vital information. But maybe pour you a glass of wine and take the edge off and go in and don't give a damn. But don't overindulge and get yourself fired because Trav ain't got no money for you. But I hope everybody's had a good week. We're at the end, unless you work on weekends, then that sucked. But that means you've probably had a day or two off during the week. I hope everybody's doing fine, doing well. I hope last week was good for everybody. I'm sorry that I didn't record. Life happened last Thursday, and it needed my attention. And it slapped me like a fucking brick. But I didn't stress. I didn't trip. I was like, we'll just come back next week, kill it as we usually do. So I hope everybody's, you know, cool. And I hope you didn't miss me too much, but I missed y'all. This is my therapy. When I do this, I'm talking to you. I don't see your faces. I know a few of my supporters. I talk to them. They enjoy me dropping knowledge. But I'm telling you, I really don't know shit. I'm learning every day, and I hope you guys are as well. So we're gonna start with some housekeeping. Of course, shout out to my brother Reggie Glenn. Look him up on Facebook, Reginald Glenn, and on Instagram at RGFitness34. Get at him if you're serious about getting your body in shape and your mind in shape, because you know once you get your body in shape, your mind will declutter, you'll feel better about yourself, you'll think more clearly. And that's what my brother Reggie offers you. You can pick any day or any days to go in, set a time, train with him. He's going to drop knowledge with you. You can go to his boot camps on Saturday. He has a location in Winston-Salem on Patterson near the McDonald's. And he has another location in Jamestown. RG Fitness, Trifecta Fitness, RG Fitness 34 on Instagram, Reginald Glenn on Facebook. Tell him that his brother Street sent you. You might get a discount, probably not, but just get at him. I also want to shout out my homie Rob Turner, Bando Black on Instagram. He just launched Big Dog Catering. The boy been cooking for a minute now. The food is great. I stamp it. He throws a menu up. I share it. I had his food for the first time last year. It was a ribeye and some macaroni and cheese and something else. It was amazing. It was great. I stand by him, support him. Look him up right now. His Facebook page is, I think it's suspended or it's on a 30-day jail sentence, whatever. So you got to look him up on Facebook as Rob Turner with the two B's, RobTurner. Get him, tell him I sent you. You're not going to get no money off of that food, but he has affordable pricing. So support your local black businesses, man. Let them know Street sent you. So we have a lot to talk about. Seriously. You know, we have the zombie apocalypse is upon us. But I want to start by talking about last week in music. Friday, it seems like I downloaded so much new material from Jhené Aiko, Bankroll Fresh, Meg Thee Stallion, Lil Uzi, Jadakiss, King Von, Black Zach. This reminded me of last year when Rhapsody, Pee Wee Longway, Jadenna, and Missy, they all dropped like the same time. And I called it then that was like one of the best weeks / weekends in hip hop history. Seriously, because they all killed it. Like every album was dope, especially the Jadenna album. I was highly impressed. I knew what I was gonna get from Pee Wee Longway and Rhapsody, but Jadenna, he really shined. And on this week, man, I've been listening to King Von. I've let that cook for the last couple of days, and just by chance, a couple nights ago, I couldn't sleep. You know, I'm a music fanatic, so I go to iTunes, you know, I open Apple Music, and I just go to, like, R&B, hit shuffle, put the earphones in, land there, in and out of sleep, and I hear this song, and I'm like, wait a minute, like, I ain't never heard that before, like, what am I listening to? And it was Jhené Aiko, and it was the song called BS, right? Shit woke me up out of my sleep. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, they going crazy. It's Jhené Aiko and her. Man, when I tell you I'm stamping that album, like, that's something that y'all definitely need to go listen to, download, man, you know, vibe out to, just have a good time with. Pour you some wine, make sure you got some water nearby, and definitely roll up the green of that. You know, you gotta have a blunt to it. But for the ladies, that's a dope-ass album. Her and Meg dropping on the same day. I seen a meme. Well, not a meme. It was a Facebook status. It went viral. And this is how I feel, too. I'm gonna put it out there. Jhené and Meg, they gonna get y'all fucked up. For real. Like, you know, last year was what, Hot Girl Summer? You know, real ass bitch give a fuck about a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Nah, we ain't doing that this year. We shooting y'all goddamn club up. Sit your ass down. Ain't no Hot Girl Summer, bitch. But in all seriousness, though, last week was a dope week for hip-hop. You know, R.I.P. Bankroll Fresh, gone too soon. You know, dude would definitely be on the level of Lil Baby the Baby, you know, that whole QC movement. He would be in the mix because he definitely was coming, you know. And his music, his legacy, you know, that little short time that we had him is going to live on because we definitely fuck with Bankroll. I don't know too many people who don't. But, of course, I'm jocking my boy King Von, Chicago's own V-Roy from the Wick. He going crazy. He don't disappoint. You know, that's just me being real. Sosa dropped last week, but I'm telling you, when it come down to that movement up there, you know, because all of them fuck with each other, I'm definitely stamping King Von. I got to listen to Jadakiss' album. I got to let that cook. You know, shout out to my boy Duck, my brother Vito. You know, they definitely been on that, but you know, I haven't listened to it yet. I was kind of disappointed with the last Kiss album. You know, I went to the store, bought the hard copy. Like I said, I'm a music fanatic. So I definitely was one of the last people to start streaming. You know, I would still go get CDs. That's just how it is. You know, I got a CD player in my car, but I also have Bluetooth. So, you know, I went, purchased the last Kiss album, and it disappointed me. I'm not going to lie. I thought Sheik had the better album between the two. But Kiss, my boy, you know, he's definitely in the upper echelon of MCs of all time. So I got to give him a chance. You know, I gotta check him out. Black Zach, he represent for the crib down south, you know what I mean? So I'ma definitely check him out. Lil Uzi, I've heard good things about him. You know, Lil Uzi is kinda like Young Thug. They can drop an album and they really don't have to do any press. I think Thug did a press run and he really didn't have to because he's created this aura about himself that just intrigues people. So soon as Thug dropped, I downloaded and I definitely got the Uzi album on deck. I'm gonna check him out. But I'm hearing that it's dope and I can believe that, you know, a lot of these young artists, man, they had it tough because people my age, you know, I'm 32, I'm not gonna hide that. We tend to judge and we don't evolve with the time. But you have to take the music for what it's worth and who's dropping it. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm gonna give the little homie, I'm gonna give him a try. I definitely am. I'm gonna be open minded to it. You know, I hadn't heard my son say anything about him, but you know, we're gonna see what that's hitting for. Before I get too far deep into today's episode, I wanna shout out my mom. You know, shout out to Rosie. She turned 64 on yesterday. You know, I hope your day was amazing. I hope you enjoyed your gifts. You know, you got to see all your kids yesterday. You got to see your grandkids. You got a lot of calls, a lot of visits. You know what I mean? And I see that you cut your cake last night, even though we didn't light any candles and sing happy birthday because you weren't feeling too well. You still got your piece of cake. I just want to tell you, Mama, I love you, and I hope I'm making you proud, baby. You know, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the pocket change you got. You know, do something special for yourself, even though she'll probably give my son some money and tell him to go to the store. That's how she is. But I just wanted to do that, you know, let her know how special she is to me and to my entire family. So happy birthday, Mama. Well, happy belated birthday, even though I was with you yesterday. But, you know, y'all tell Mom, happy birthday. So, let me sip some wine. I know Vito probably cringing like hell, like, bro, what you doing? Vito, I'm not going to get inebriated, trust me, bro. But I know everybody else like, hell yeah, Trav, sip that shit. And y'all should probably sip too, especially if you're not at work yet, you know. Pour you a glass of wine. Take the edge off. It's the weekend. Let your hair down. And I hope during our episode today, because I'm doing it on Friday morning instead of on Thursday, I hope Meals on Wheels don't come. These motherfuckers knock like the Jehovah's Witnesses, bro. Like, I swear I'll be in here working some days, and these motherfuckers will knock like they the police. Or they'll lay on the doorbell. So if you guys hear that, I'm going to have to walk away and answer the door. But you know, I'm going to keep it real. You know, I'm not going to edit it out. I want y'all to hear everything. You know, see how my days go and how crazy it can get sometimes. So, you know, if y'all hear the doorbell or you hear somebody bamming on the door, it ain't the police. They ain't raiding me. It's not the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's Meals on Wheels. They coming to bring my mom some shit. So I've been off since Tuesday was my last day. It was my Friday this week. I've been chilling. Haven't been doing too much, you know, when I got my mom gifts this week or whatever. But I've been home. I've been chilling. You know, I pay bills and mortgage. I want to be in the house. You feel me? So, of course, you have no choice but to really sit back and listen and watch what's going on around the world as far as the coronavirus is concerned. And I know I talked to you guys about it before, and I said, you know, continue living. Don't be in the uproar. Don't be panicking. I wish I had a bigger platform because the world is in the fucking uproar right now. And I'm thinking that I'm going to have to be either Rick Grimes or Daryl from The Walking Dead. Because it seems as if the media is making it seem like we're in the last and dying days. Is the virus more serious than I thought? Yes. Is it on the flu's level? No. But is it running rampant and passing very fast? Hell yeah. So we have to take it a little more serious than we initially thought we would. We don't know. There's a lot we don't know about this virus. My brother, you know, he's one of the smartest people that I know. Cause I'm like, dude, how is this even spreading so fast? Like, this is ridiculous. And his simple answer was through airplanes, bro. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? It's like, people travel, you know, how do you get epidemics and pandemics or whatever you want to call it? You know, it's through travel. He's like, okay, so you have people that are traveling through the air, they're traveling through the water, you know, as far as boats or whatever, and trains or whatever the case may be. He's like, you know, if you're coming from a country or area that's already been infected, you know, and you've been exposed to it, when you hop on that plane, you're in a closed space with a bunch of people and you've spread it to probably every state, you know, in the country. So that was my ignorance, you know, not realizing like, hey, that's a simple, you know, not solution, but that's a simple cause. That's a simple reason why it's here and it's moving fast. I'm in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and we've had our first two cases of this virus in Forsyth County. I'm not really tripping about that. You know, to me, what's going to happen is going to happen. It's predetermined. You know, your time is your time. I don't think that this is a death sentence by far. You're talking about 125,000 cases globally, 1,600 in the U.S., 5,000 deaths globally, 40 in the United States. So it's not like people are dying in mass numbers. I don't want anyone to think that contracting this virus is a death sentence, because it's not. We're not immune to it, but I don't want people to think that this is it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, my life is over. But that's how the world is treating it, and I understand. We finally have faces, you know, that we're familiar with, high profile people that has contracted the virus. Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, they were in Australia. They've tested positive for it. You know, for my NBA fans, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz, they've tested positive for it. I believe all four of them will bounce back, honestly. One thing about science and medicine is, you know, we're able to come up with antivirus fast and get it on the market and pretty much get it out to the general public. And that's what's needed. You know, I don't think everyone should automatically assume that, you know, okay, life is over, because it's not. You know, don't freak out and don't quarantine yourself, of course, from, you know, the outside world. Just take the precautions, wash your hands with hot water and soap when you're leaving the bathroom. Carry some hand sanitizer. You know, we all have those friends who keep hand sanitizer on deck. So make sure you're using that. Cover your mouth when you cough. Get you some surgical mask, because the country is shutting itself down. I mean, no sports right now. We went from the NBA postponing games to the NBA kind of like, hey, for 30 days, we're not going to do anything. You know, they were talking about having teams play with no fans in the arena. But now they're like, look, some of our players are infected. So we're just going to go ahead and stop all games, which is smart. The NCAA, they canceled their tournaments, which is smart. You'd rather be safe than sorry, you know, in all honesty. I know it's not popular. A lot of us, we are NBA fanatics and just sports fanatics. But, you know, this is what was needed. This is what the country feel is right. Because if you leave it to sports leagues, they're not going to do the right thing. Big business doesn't care. You know, I'm just going to be 100% honest. Because the WWE, with Vince McMahon, they're not looking to cancel anything. They're like, nah, we'll just move to another venue. They have their own, like, developmental system. So they're like, look, we can have a SmackDown or whatever here. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they would have people in the arenas or whatever. But that just goes to show you that sometimes government stepping in is a good thing. Because businessmen and businesswomen, they see dollars. They don't really give a fuck about the health aspect, you know, because it's just a cutthroat society. But I think the country is doing the right thing with this extra precaution. Now, you motherfuckers out there buying all the goddamn toilet paper, paper towel, Lysol, hey, man, y'all doing too much. People that just grocery shop maybe, you know, 2-3 times out the month, bro. This is shit that we go buy to have in the house as well. I seen a dude leaving Walmart yesterday with a pallet of water. Like, bro, you don't need all that shit. I was able to get me a case of, I think, you know, 24. And I was satisfied. Like, bro, it's all good. But I get the thoughts of people. You know, when you don't know how a virus is being contracted and how it's being spread, you get paranoid. So it's like people already don't drink faucet water because we think it's nasty anyway, even though all of us grew up on it, you know, which is probably why some of us should be immune to this shit. And if you drunk creek water or whatever the case may be, you probably have no worries. But I see why people are buying up water and shit. Just calm down. Everybody needs it, man. You feel me? So don't overreact, but take more precaution. You know, I didn't think it was this serious, but it is clearly. So, you know, make sure that you and your family are doing those things, washing your hands, covering your mouth when you cough. You know, if you have surgical masks, medical masks at home, wear them. Just do what you can to preserve your life at this point in time, because clearly this shit is a bigger threat than I thought. By the numbers, it's not, because, you know, the flu is still killing more people every year than this virus is, but we don't know what's to lie in the days to come. Like I said, if we were going to be under any attack of terrorism, it would be biological and chemical. I hope and pray that's not what this is. You know, China is kind of the second to oldest, like the second big brother of the world next to us, because we are the big brother. But, you know, the motherfuckers over there are some bullies. This is something I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, but it does give you cause to pause. You know, if you want to cripple a country, you attack them through water, food, and air. I'm just being honest, but I'm not saying that's what's going on, but it's something to think about. So we had a Super Tuesday, which is where I think like 13 states, they have their primaries. And this was interesting because we came out of Super Tuesday with not Bernie Sanders, but Joe Biden being a clear-cut favorite for the Democratic nomination for the Democratic Party. I thought it would be Bernie Sanders. I think yesterday I saw where Bernie finally won California, which is a good thing. So I don't see him conceding or whatever the case may be. I don't see him throwing in a towel yet. Everybody else is pretty much a wash. You know, Elizabeth Warren, Michael Bloomberg. But I have to have this conversation with y'all. You know, I'm not too big on politics, but, you know, I know politics is what makes this country go. Politics equal money. Always remember that. You want to know where the money is? Follow the sleazy, grimy politicians, because they're going to go to where the money is. This country is so stagnant, it's not even funny. In 2008, when we elected Barack Obama, that was a feel-good moment. Probably the most proud moment in this country's fucked-up-ass history, because this country is fucked up. Let's not get it twisted. We're here, and we're living in a country that was founded on bloodshed. But then you wonder why so much violence. But that's neither here nor there. So that showed progression. Like, wow, a black man. And I don't want to hear nothing about him being mixed. If he gets stopped and he's not the president of the United States, he's a black man. That's just what it is. When he came up for re-election 4 years later, the conversation shifted to, you're only voting for him because he's black. You damn right. It's a black man. That's not Jesse Jackson. That's not Al Sharpton. He's new. It's a black man that we love, that we still love. Yeah, we're voting for him because he's black. And he kicked Mitt Romney's ass, as he should have. West, you know, fast forwarded to 2016, what's killing me and what I talked about, I had this conversation with my brother last night, so I'm going to divulge this information to you guys. What's killing me now is that you're looking at the majority, which is white people, and you're like, you guys are voting the same way every fucking election outside of one, which was Barack Obama in 08 and in 2012. Because without, you know, some white votes, he doesn't get elected. But black people showed up and showed out in record margins and record numbers. But white people, you guys are voting for old white men to this day. Look at what happened 4 years ago. Seriously. You had Hillary Clinton, which is a white woman, which would have been something different, which would have showed more progression. You had Hillary Clinton going up against Donald Trump. And white women chose to go with the bigot old white man who is sexist. And we know this for a fact. Who incarcerated and called, well, didn't incarcerate, but he called for the heads of innocent black teenagers, the Central Park Five. You guys said you would vote for Hillary, but on election night, you went in that booth and you voted for Donald Trump, an old white man with money, with little to no values, ethics, and morals. Or those value, ethics, and morals, by society standards, shouldn't have been aligned with your ethics, morals, and with your ethics, morals, and values. But you guys, y'all voted for him. It showed that the progression that we made from 08 to 2016 was null and void in your community. Not in the black community. Because outside of 08 and 2016, black people are always choosing the lesser of two evils. Y'all do realize that, right? Because it's always an old white man that's going to get the nod. So instead of showing progress, you guys vote for the old white man continuously. This has been going on from the first president up until now, with the exception of Barack Obama. We voted for him twice because he was black. He's the best. Let's just keep it real. The best sitting president ever is Barack Obama. These are facts. These are facts. No innuendo or anything. These are facts. We wanted to set the table for the next viable candidate that would be black. You know, shout out to Cory Booker. You know, come back, bounce back harder. But we set the table. White women, you didn't. And you dropped the ball again. Elizabeth Warren. Even though it wouldn't line up for black people, you know, no one would be setting us up to win. But it would be us showing progression in this country if she got the nod, and she didn't. And I'm looking at white women and I'm saying, what the hell is wrong with y'all? Why won't y'all break away from that old stigma and that old way of doing things? Why not put Hillary in the White House or even Elizabeth Warren this go around? You missed out on Hillary, which, trust me, I did not vote for her. I wrote in Bernie Sanders. That's just what it is. He was the lesser of all evils. You get what I'm saying? But y'all went and voted for Trump. I don't get it. This shit wasn't even close. So now we have Joe Biden. He's leading the way. I have no dog in this fight. I'm voting for Bernie. But we are in such of a battle, like a tug of war, to say the least, because the 1994 crime bill, this was backed by Joe Biden. He can spend it any way that he wants to. Like, no, this is what the bill was intended for. Okay, what it was intended for, but what ended up happening, the consequences behind it, we still feel those effects to this day. Mass incarceration of black and brown people, for one. Stiffer sentencing. You fall in line with Clinton, Bill Clinton, which was some bullshit. He had black people blinded. A lot of black people were saying this was the first black president. He did nothing for us. That NAFTA agreement crippled the country. We still feel those effects to this day. I don't care what anyone says. Look up the North American Free Trade Agreement and look up the 1994 crime bill. Like I said, this was backed by Joe Biden. So who are we actually electing? I don't want this man. I don't want Trump to win. I don't. But it's like, who are we putting in this chair? Morals, ethics, and values. His don't line up with us. I don't think Barack Obama knew what this man had did, what he had backed. If you remember, in '08. If you remember, Hillary Clinton didn't want to back Barack Obama. They didn't like him. Why? Ask yourself that. So do you think he would have picked a running mate if he knew signed off on this bill? Backed this bill, he wouldn't have. But we're going to put that type of man in office. But what are we to do? It's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. If he gets this nod, it's a wrap. And is he really the lesser of two evils if he backed a bill that got a lot of our fathers, brothers, sons, nephews, uncles put away for a very long time? We got to think about that. You're right in the same conversation of Bush 1, Bill Clinton, and Ronald Reagan. These were three presidents back to back to back that did a lot to hurt the black community. So I advise everyone listening, do more research on Joe Biden. Because guess what? Before I knew about this, I was all smoking Joe. Oh man, he's dope. He's great. No, he's not. He's just like a lot of these other old white men. And I'm not saying all white people are the same. I'm not saying that. I'm looking at the dynamic of the black people of the country. And I'm looking at the sitting presidents and I'm saying, we need a change. We pushed that change with President Obama. And when it was y'all turn to push forward with either Hillary, who I don't like, and Elizabeth Warren, y'all dropped the ball. And all I'm saying is we have to do better. Y'all have to do better. We did our part. Now it's time for y'all to do yours. So do your research on Biden. Do your research on Sanders. Do your research on anyone before you cast your vote. So we have to talk about LeBron James. I got to take a sip of wine. Weed, water, and wine coming soon, by the way. But we have to talk about Bron, because a lot of people counted him out. What's his year, 17? He's balling. Last year was an off year for him. He didn't have the team around him. They started off hot. I think they got as high as the 4 seed before he got hurt. Probably would have ended with the top 2 seed in the Western Conference last year, because that's just how good he is, how dominant he is. Let's just keep it real. With no other superstar, all-star, Jordan didn't do that. And RIP Bean, he didn't do that. But look at what LeBron can do with less and what he was doing in the Western Conference last year before he got hurt. Speaks volumes on this man's greatness. That's why I call him the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. But I digress. We'll have that conversation another time. But let's talk about the weekend he had last week. Starting last Friday, going against the Bucks. Reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. I'd say my son looks like him. You know what I'm saying? He's built like Giannis. One of my favorite players to watch. LeBron and the Lakers took them down. This is the number one team in the NBA. I think they got the Lakers by 2 or 3 games for the best record in the league. They beat them 113-103. Bron, 37-8-8. Outdueled Giannis. Next on the marquee is the Clippers. Clippers had the Lakers number. Kawhi, Paul George, Lou Williams, Pat Bev. Like, they've been balling. For real. They don't have the record that we thought they would have, but they're putting it together. This is a home game for the Lakers every time that they play. LeBron got them up out of the 28-8-9 on par with career numbers. Well, his numbers for his career, pretty much. 112-103. Goes against the reigning finals MVP. Some people say the best player on the planet is Kawhi. So he beat the regular season MVP from a year ago. And to me, the front runner for MVP this year. And then he beat the finals MVP. Friday and Sunday. This is one of the best weekends this man has had. He balled. And now people can shut the hell up because he's still the best player in the NBA, hands down. The numbers might not support it, but he's still the best. You know why the numbers aren't supporting it? Because he doesn't have to lead the team in scoring or rebounding. Because he has a monster beside him and Anthony Davis. AD is balling. The Lakers are coming. The Lakers are a threat to win the championship. The Lakers probably should be the favorite because you have the number one player in the world. And then you have a top five player right beside him. And then you have some dogs on defense. Avery Bradley, he can defend. AD, he can defend. LeBron, when he wants to, he can lock you down. But let me say this, because I got to play both sides, because as great of a season he's having, he's not the MVP. It's still Giannis. Giannis is balling. Top five in scoring, top five in rebounding. Number one with the PER, which is what a lot of people go off of. Giannis is still number one as far as the MVP. But what LeBron is doing at this age and with the years under his belt is second to none. You can't really shit on that. And people are going to try to, but we're going to keep it real on the Anything Goes podcast. He's balling, and the Lakers should be favorite to win. I want to see the Lakers versus the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, and then I want to see the Lakers go against Milwaukee in the Finals, or Boston, because Boston balling. They're young, and they're hungry. Tatum, Brown, Kemba, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, I would not mind seeing them going up against the Lakers. And I'm going to love to see that Milwaukee-Boston series. That shit destined to happen. It has to. If the NBA comes back. And I hope they do. I pray they do. I need the playoffs in my life, man. I'm an NBA fanatic. So I'm definitely cheering and rooting for them to get this right. The coronavirus, I hope it pipes down and we can enjoy some basketball spring going into the summertime. And hey, if LeBron gets a ring with the Lakers, that's four rings. That'll probably be, well, I'm not going to say he'll be the final MVP because of AD. But it'll be four rings with three teams. Sounds like the GOAT to me. I'm just saying. So, you know I got to hit y'all with something today before we leave. We can't all, you know, can't all just be about sports and music and politics. I got to give y'all something to take on your day-to-day life. Something that, you know, people face more and more and don't really know how to handle. And I'm one of those people, and this is why we're going to talk. And we should all try to practice this. Because I try to practice what I preach. I've had people say that to me. You got to practice what you preach. I'm not preaching anything We having conversations, and we're all learning and growing together. Yeah, we got to start learning how to say no. For real. We have to. Got to learn how to say no. When shit's not beneficial for us, and it's only beneficial. It's only benefiting the asking party. Yeah, we got to get away from that. Seriously. We have to start looking at ourselves as a viable commodity. We got to value our time, our mental, our physical. If people aren't around us that understand that, we need to get them the hell away from us. Because sometimes you're only a benefit when you're doing for others. And we don't realize that because a lot of time we're doing for people that we love or that we love or we're in love with. So guess what? When they ask us for something or they hint around it, we usually do it. Not realizing that this person is using us. We got to start saying no. It's hard. Trust me, it's hard for me. Man, I have somebody that owes me $20 right now. For real. And I see this mug sometimes twice a week. They walk by like I didn't let them hold any money. Run me my shit. Give me my money. You feel me? But this is why we have to start saying no. Even if it's something small like, hey, can you run me across town real quick? You know, I have gas money. When do I hear from you on a regular basis? Do we chop it up, you know? Did you switch up on me at any time? You been giving me your ass to kiss? Because people will manipulate you into making you feel like everything is all good. You know, ain't nothing changed. Whoop-de-whoop. Ah, man, you know, you don't really fuck with me like that unless you need something. People will hit you with a sob story quick. They play on your emotions and your niceness, your kindness. You have a good heart. They gonna play off that. That ain't cool. That's toxic as fuck. And the word toxic is probably the most overused word in the English language now. But this is a toxic situation that we have to get ourselves out of. If something's not benefiting you, or you feel like you're doing it to appease other people and you really don't want to be doing that, don't do it. Start training yourself. Don't make yourself uncomfortable to make other people comfortable. Because guess what? They ain't making you comfortable at all. They're putting you in a situation that's making it seem like you love them more than yourselves. And we have to get out of that mind frame and mentality. We have to love us first. I know it doesn't seem that deep right now, but it is. I'm telling you. When people know your heart, they use that against you. They know that they got you in their back pocket. It's called manipulation. It's a book about that. The Art of Manipulation by Robert Greene. Read it. It'll tell you a lot that you need to know. Look up the definition. Manipulation. We all have smartphones. Look it up on Google. Go to YouTube. Type it in. Listen and learn. But more importantly, you have to start following your heart. You have to start listening to your mind. Don't continue to hurt yourself by putting yourself on Front Street for people who mean you no good or for people who don't love you like you love them. You have to reel it back in and you have to start putting yourself first. everybody doesn't deserve your help or your energy. They don't deserve anything from you, especially if the only time you're a benefit for them is when they need something from you. Don't be used by the user. And don't enable the user. Because when you're enabling people, you ain't doing shit but making that fire grow bigger and bigger. And when that happens, it engulfs you. I don't know everything, but I know that. And that's scary as hell. We don't need it. So the next time somebody hits you and you know that they're going to ask you for something, or you feel like they're going to ask you for something, say no. Some people going to hit you, and after a while, you'll start getting that feeling when they call or when they text you, cringe. That's how you know it's time to change. It's time to get away from that person or those people in those situations. Put yourself first and tell them, I've helped you enough. This time I gotta say no. This time I'ma love myself. Self-love goes a long way, but you'll be better with it in time. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, not your children, because your children need you. You know, sometimes they're helpless. Girlfriend, boyfriend, lover, ex, whoever. No means no. I can't do it. Not this time. Not today. And not next year. I'm good. I'll help you when I can, or when it, you know, I feel like it's going to benefit you in a good way, not enable your ass. So that wraps up episode 31. I hope, first of all, I love y'all, and I appreciate y'all for rocking with me through 31 episodes. I appreciate the support. I appreciate the feedback. I have something brewing. It's coming soon. I have two things brewing. They're coming soon. I know I keep saying that, but, you know, life happens. Schedules happen. But be on the lookout. You know, sit tight and trust me. Let's grow this platform. Let's continue to push forward. I want everybody to have a good day today. It's Friday. Y'all are going to get this episode no later than 10:15 in the morning. So it's something that you can listen to at work and something that you can take with you this weekend. I want you guys to have fun, be safe, whatever you're doing. Take extra caution with this virus that's going around. Wash your hands. Hot water, soap. Keep your head on a swivel. If you're going to be out here this weekend, be safe. Make it home in one piece. For my people that's been struggling, you know, with the mental aspect of life. For my people that's feeling overwhelmed. I have a friend that this is for in particular. Everything will be okay. You're surrounded by love. And it doesn't seem like right now things are going to get better, but they will. And they are. This is for everybody. Take time out for yourself. Put your phone down. Go for a walk. Go for a run. Go work out. Call a friend that you can talk to and confide in. Cry it out. Do whatever you have to do. But just know that you're a dope-ass person. And the world is better with you in it. with you in it and with you here. I love y'all. Be safe. And I'll talk to y'all Thursday, okay? I'm out.